Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody.
Good morning. This dynamic of the Empowered Soul and guest of the A New Day Show, and I'm welcoming you this morning out of Brookfield, Connecticut. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out to join us this morning. We have an amazing guest for you this today. Guest lineup for you today. We have Dr. Z, who will be coming on in just a few minutes. And then we have Christina Walls that will be coming on at 11. We also have a guest who has been here with us just a little bit before we got on air. And I want to first do it in the reverse this morning. I want to welcome Melissa for joining us. Melissa, good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on the A New Day Show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Dr. Z.
Yes, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
What an amazing blessing it is to be in your presence this morning. You and I met just a week ago, but I know God brought us together for an awesome purpose. And I know that the listeners will be greatly blessed this morning, sir. So thank you for taking the time to educate us this morning.
Well, I thank you for having us, and you're right, we are connected, and I am grateful to the presence that we are and for bringing us together. So how can we serve and help the people?
Yes, I would like for you to take a few minutes to just explain to the listeners. I know your bio was up more than a week ago, but I want them to hear it from you. How did your journey begin?
Well, we're going to go back a few days, and the story that I tell nowadays is it's almost as if I had a conversation with the Almighty prior to being born. And I asked, and the question was posed to me, as if the question was posed to me, what do you want to serve and teach in this lifetime? And so my answer was, well, I want to teach and serve about the power of mercy and self-leadership. Now, you know, we say, as humans, we say, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And so, you know, the Almighty asked me, are you sure that's what you want? I said, yes. So he says, okay, well, we're going to put you with a family of Negro people who, back in the day, they experienced a depression while they were teenagers. And their grandparents had gone through slavery. And your parents will have experienced the worst kind of judgment through racism.
Uh-huh.
And there will have been, you know, limited opportunities throughout all different types of parts of society, and they'll develop sensitivities which they'll pass on to you. And so, you know, in this family situation, I experienced a whole lot of judgment, a lot of complaining, a lot of blaming. And, you know, between people directed towards me, it came from the neighborhood, the school, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of negativity. And
yes.
And that judgment impacted me. So at 13 years old, I became numb to it. And at 14, I started going out in the streets and having all different kind of experiences that were negative. But
right.
for seven years, we experienced the outgrowth of all of that judgment. And you say, well, why is that important? Because if one wants to serve mercy and teach about the power of mercy and self-leadership, then don't they have to experience some judgment in their life?
Exactly. Exactly.
You see? And so a lot of times we want to escape from looking at that part of our life that was painful. But that's where your power is. Your power is
exactly.
comes through that pain. You
exactly.
see, when you think, oh, I'm getting the spirit is flowing now. I'm feeling the energy here, Daphne, because
and that's
even,
the purpose of this show, brother. Let it flow.
Well, think about it now. The worst pain that we can experience, they tell me, is childbirth. Now,
mm-hmm.
I haven't experienced it as a male, but that's what women say, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet, that pain is the only way that the life can come through.
Exactly. Exactly.
And every life. Every life comes through that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be willing to look at our pain, experience that, and then come through that to fulfill the power that's already in us. And
yes.
so, and when I was 20 years old, how can we do that? And this is some of the things we talk about in our writing. Is
mm-hmm.
we got to learn to begin to ask different questions, because after 7 years of foolishness, I begin to ask different questions. Who am I?
Right.
Why am I here? What's the purpose
mm-hmm.
of life?
Exactly, exactly. Dr. Zay, before you continue, I just want to affirm something. And it's you spoke about a pre-birth conversation. And
yes.
what you just did for my listeners is to affirm my teaching to them, both on my TV show and on the radio show. When I teach them, it's important to find your purpose, because God create a problem, and then he said, well, I'm going to get Z to fix this problem, or I'm going to get Daphne to fix this problem. So when we were birthed in this world, there was already our purpose. Because God knows the end from the beginning, our purpose was already ordained. But we go around running around, get burnt out because we are not tapping in there. The other thing I pick up out of what you said, it sounded to me that when you had that pre-birth conversation with God, it is as if God had two people for your slot. And he was confirming to see who should he truly give this assignment to, who is going to be ready, who is going to be committed, because he knows that he also had another assignment for the other person. And that's why he asked you, are you sure that's what you wanted to do? And that's powerful, because all these many years I'm teaching this, I've never heard anyone gave me this affirmation, and I want to thank you so much for that.
Well, I thank you. And, you know, I often say we're kindred spirits here, Daphne. It's like, you know, we've known each other a long, long time. And you often tell people, see, we forget, you're conceived in love. Every life, the majority of them, are
mm-hmm.
conceived in love. And you come mm-hmm. here with a purpose. But as
yes.
you said, Daphne, the problem is we have forgot what that purpose is.
Yes.
You know, and everybody's trying to tell us what they think our purpose is based on their own values and their own
mm-hmm.
views. When
mm-hmm.
your purpose, you got to figure it out for yourself, and it starts within.
And listen, because the Maker knows why he created you. So don't be busy listening to the dog, the cat, the neighbor, the bird. Listen to the Maker. He is the only one who knows your next move. And if we still ourselves long enough, If we settle the turmoil that's going on within us, we will hear when he tells us, this is your next move. So it is just our obedience and taking quiet time, which is so essential to carrying out our purpose and calling.
Absolutely. Quiet time and also paying attention to the questions that we're asking.
Yes.
Could I go back to that 20-year-old questions and share with your listeners a lot of that? Because at that stage, I was about to flunk out of college, Stephanie. You know, when you get below a 2.0, they kick you out. And I was at Penn State University. And, all of those 7 years of negativity, that stuff, the attitudes, behaviors, they follow you. And I was about to get kicked out. Now, I was at 2.015. And I started asking these questions. And that's when God touched me and said, the answer to your question, Sade, is to submit yourself to me.
Amen. Thank you,
The answer to your question is to surrender your will to me. So what happened? I set a goal, and I talk about this in one of the books in the chapter of persistence. I set a goal to graduate with a 2.5 GPA.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed my attitude, and I started asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask my teachers, what do I need to do to get an A?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Daphne?
Mm-hmm.
They told me how to do it.
Right. So, ask the questions, you get the answers.
Yeah, so I started doing what they said and developed my own system for studying and preparation, which was basically repetition.
Yes.
And we teach this to young people, and we've seen hundreds of young people move from C students to honor roll by using some simple techniques that I started learning at that time. And so anyway, the short of it is I did graduate from school, and I met my wife at Penn State. I found myself at Penn State. God touched me at Penn State, and my life has been totally different since that incident.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing testimony this morning. Oh, thank you so much for so eloquently sharing that, Dr. Z, because there's someone under the sound of our voices this morning who needed that testimony. Let us, before I let you go into the writings, we started talking about that. I want to give Melissa an opportunity to ask you a question if she has one.
I actually do. Thank you, Dr. Z. I bumped into Dr. Z back in July of last year at a leadership conference, and purchased his book, 7 Steps to Deep Transition. Has really blessed my life, and I often go back and forth. And each time I get an opportunity to catch up with Dr. Z, and I'm on his mailing list, so that's how I found out about the show today. And I was so persistent, I couldn't get online, so I decided to call so I can listen in, because he dropped so many words of positive affirmation for me. So, Dr. Z, the last time I met you was back in July. I'm on my career, and I'm trying to continue to find ways and seek opportunities for empowerment. What one thing that I can do every day to remind myself, just in case I don't have your book with me, is it a special quote or special motivational slogan you have to encourage yourself that I can also adopt as well?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Melissa,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just smiling as I feel your spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us in your question. I think I'm really big on affirmations,
mm-hmm.
and I think our life changes. Different parts of our life areas, like our spiritual development, mental development, physical, financial, career, all of those things are changing. The key thing we need to do is move from fear to faith.
Because
fear and faith can't live in the same place at the same time. And then we need to move from worry to hope, especially during these times. So one thing that you can do on a daily basis is to begin to look at your situation and create I am statements or concepts that support where you want to go.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're struggling with, you or anyone struggling with, you know, a sense of worthiness, because we've got to get down to the core. You know, for many years, I didn't believe I was worthy. You know, and I thought, well, if I just go and get all this education,
right,
that'll get me there. And I got all the education, but I still didn't feel worthy.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, you know, I had to develop a program, and I still am involved in that, where I acknowledge my own worthiness. And,
okay,
you know, so affirming, I am worthy, for example. And the whole process with affirmation, you can't just say it one time. I tell people to write it down now.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm,
and do it at least 15 times a day. I mean, write the things, the statements 15 times, and because you want to sink it into your subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where the power to connect with infinite intelligence is, in our subconscious. But we got to do something conscious every day. So the simple suggestion, you know, write whatever issue you're dealing with. Create, you know, be aware of the ideas that you have right now,
mm-hmm,
because they're becoming conscious. And your ego latches on to that, and then we draw a conclusion, and then it shows up in our body and in our environment.
Thank you.
Okay? So if we shift that to something that's positive, you know, I am worthy. Another thing you can do is sit down every day and write out, I am grateful,
mm-hmm,
and then finish that sentence and do that, you know, write that same sentence multiple times. I am grateful to have this conversation with you. I am grateful for the opportunity to speak on Daphne's show and to reach out to the world. I am grateful that, you know, I have an opportunity to grow beyond my current financial situation. I am grateful for my family. You see, because the more gratitude we express, the more we're going to attract that back to ourselves.
Okay.
You see? And then the last piece is acknowledging yourself. You know, I am honoring myself for. And then whatever good you've done the night before or during the day, write that down and do that multiple times, and you'll find your self-confidence will shift.
Thank you.
See, I got so much to say.
Yeah. Dr. Z, one of the things that I use pertaining to affirmation, because people always tend not to follow through on that, and I ask them this simple question. I say, when you are sick and you go to the doctors and the doctor gives you an antibiotic, doesn't he or she give you the antibiotic for a specific amount of days and time per day? They say yes. I said, if you don't take it as prescribed, what happens? They said, well, you won't get better. So I said, just think of your affirmation as your personal development antibiotic. And you know when you have a chronic illness and he's going to put you on antibiotic maybe every 3 hours because he needs to clean up the infection, and that's what you need to do with your affirmation. So
yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, and can I add one other thing too, Daphne, in addition?
Sure.
And that is, see, a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, it sounds like positive thinking, right? And, you know, well, is that all? You know, and the truth is, that's where it begins, with the thought.
That's right.
But what's more important is what's your feeling world. How do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You see, because it's the feelings, it's the attitudes that's
right,
going to drive our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the thoughts. And so, you know, we want to create the thoughts that's positive, to create the positive feeling so that our behavior can follow suit. And then we get the positive result. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm writing that down. Thank you.
Yeah. And we make that our habit.
All right. Thank you both.
Oh, we thank you.
And that was all for me, Daphne.
Daphne, are you there? Are we with Daphne?
I don't know what happened to Daphne. I know she was coughing.
Oh. So what else is going on in your life? How else can we help?
That was enough to get started.
Well, how can you apply the idea? Let me put it that way.
I need to do it and not just write it on paper, you know, or from when I hang up from you, that I can continue to do that and make it a habit. You
okay.
know, I think my problem is I found that I'm a procrastinator and I need to be proactive and do it, you know, instead of just waiting until things pile up and then try to straighten out everything at one time. But if I do it little by little, it adds up.
Okay. So see, now can we work for a second here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So once you say I am a procrastinator, then you've identified yourself in a certain identity, right?
Yes.
Right? Now, in order to fulfill that, once that gets into your mind, your ego grabs on to that. And now you have created images in your mind of you procrastinating.
And that also holds me up from going forward.
That's exactly right.
That begins to, and it also works with my fear of moving because it's all negative energy, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And so once we, you know, we do that and we continue to do that over time, then it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, we flip the script. You know, that's the deal. You know, you don't want to procrastinate. You'd rather be active now, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so that's what you do.
Because I feel I've been empowered. I've been, you know, I have your books. I've been to so many classes, and so much is in me. So now it's like, okay, it's not, this doesn't supposed to stay there and be dormant. Something has to come out. And I just told myself this morning, I said, you need to stop procrastinating. And now I see what you were saying with that. Oh.
Well, and the thing is, we got to really pay attention to our language, mm-hmm. because when you say, don't do something, that's equivalent to saying, I'm not going to think of a pink elephant.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you say that, then what are you going to think of?
The pink elephant.
right. Even though you say that's what you don't want.
Right.
Because when you put your attention, your ideas on what you don't want, then and then draw conclusions around that, then that's exactly what you're going to attract to yourself.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that in our affirmations that they are positive, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that they lead us towards where it is we want to go.
And I can apply that to my personal life as well as my professional life as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what I need to do. Oh, wow. This is good. So we don't know what happened to Daphne, huh?
No, I'm trying to get in on the web chat,
okay.
And I'm not able to send a message back to you, Daphne, although I know you can hear us. So I'd like to take this in the direction you wanted to go in,
mm-hmm.
Daphne. So if you want to type me something, I can respond to that in the chat from the chat room. Other than that, I'll just give whatever we're given to share. So however you want me to go, that's how we'll do it. The thing is, the environment that we're in, there's so much fear that people are living with. And, you know, just think about the last 7 years, ever since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much judgment and fear in the atmosphere, you know. And the whole nation has gotten involved in that for 7 years.
Right.
Now, when people or a nation are focused on negativity, are things going to get better or are they going to get worse?
Get worse.
It's going to get worse. So 7 years down the road, we have, you know, industries collapsing. You know, financial industry, housing industry, auto industry. You know, 600,000 people per month are being laid off from their jobs.
Right.
Things have gotten worse. Does it make sense that, to see how we've created that circumstance?
Wow.
Just from the ideas that we've had in our heads. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things in the newest book that we have, Melissa and listeners, is Self-Leadership Practices to Freedom and Power. And we talk about, you know, this whole notion of courage, persistence, positive mental attitude, self-discipline, self-confidence, self-esteem, and integrity. And where do you start if we have to have or want to have these practices in our lives to have our freedom and power fully? Well, it all starts with courage. And one has to begin to have enough courage to decide what they really want, and also to think outside of the norm, status quo of what everybody else is doing and thinking about. You see, because otherwise we just get stuck, you know.
Right.
And we didn't come here to live fearful. We came here to live faith. So, you know, where in your life are you able to take more courage and persistence in order to get to where you want to get to? You know, that's what this book is about. It's about releasing one's power. So, you know, what kind of questions might one have around how to do that? Is there any question that you might have about how to release your own courage?
I think referring back to the I am statements, affirmations, for me.
Okay. What about that?
Of moving from that fear, you know, because it seems like you make one stop, however, you still have that cloud of fear or doubt just still lingering in the back of your head. So I believe once you keep repeating the I am affirmation, it also helps with your courage as well.
Yes, yes, and in this particular book, we have a number of I am statements because
okay. This
book is a series of interviews from my coaches and mentors over a 7 year period, and they tell us their story. Each one of them represents each of these concepts.
Okay.
As a master, for example, Ray is a master of courage. And so he tells us a story about when he was young, and we see a pattern, and then it shows us how that pattern, he duplicated it in his career and in his life to be to successful performance.
Okay.
And so I'd like to share one of those stories with you, mm-hmm. yet I just want to make sure that I communicate that the benefit that one would get from this particular book and any other books is the ability to take these patterns and apply them to their own lives.
Okay.
Change the situation. So I still cannot hear you, Daphne, but I can read your text message, your chat room messages. So, Ray, the thing about courage, and actually there's a quote in here from Bob Holmes, who actually is my cousin. He was a very, very successful one of the first African-American executives in the music industry.
Okay.
And he tells us that, you know, of all the people that he knows, that he's known who have become super successful, he used to run track with Bill Cosby at Temple. He knew Reginald Lewis and also Berry Gordy Jr. His quote is that they seem to have one quality in common. They lived fearlessly. They were willing to take risks to pursue their dreams. And so Ray was 11 years old, and he lived in a farmhouse, a three-bedroom farmhouse. There were seven children, four boys, three girls, and of course, mom and dad. And so the boys were in one bedroom, the girls in the other, and Mom and Dad had the third one. And still unable to hear you, Daphne. Sorry. So what happened was, you know, you can imagine you living in a room with three other boys, there's a need for some space. And so one summer he was 11 years old, he asked his dad and mom could he sleep out in the orchard. He had a little pup tent from his Boy Scouts and a cot. And so they allowed him to stay out in the orchard. And, you know, he's 11 and he's out there with nature. Mm-hmm. And he has plenty of time to think. And so his friends had had bicycles, and he didn't have one. And he couldn't ask his father to buy him one because he couldn't afford it. So he begged his dad to talk to him about it. And eventually they had a conversation. His father took him out into the orchard, and he showed him a plot of land for an acre and a half. He said, "There's your bicycle, son. If you work in style this summer, you'll ride in style come fall." So this becomes step number one in releasing our courage. Is we have to have some dream, some vision of what it is that we want, something that's passionate enough that makes us go outside of our normal routines and ask for opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, the question one has to ask is, what is your dream? What is your vision that you want so much that you're willing to ask for an opportunity? Because the law tells us when you ask, a response is always given to you. Mm-hmm. So he asked his dad, and his dad said, of course he said yes, and his dad said, well, I'll loan you my equipment. I'll front you the seed, the fertilizer, you'll pay me back in the fall. And so he began to plant his garden. And so, you know, he had to sacrifice playing ball with the kids. He had to get up early, you know, to work his garden. And then eventually he had some crops. And the powerful part of the story is that he had to put 4 bushels of vegetables into a cart.
Okay.
And he had to roll that cart for 1 mile from the field to his grandmother's house. Because his grandfather would take the material, the vegetables, and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now this 1 mile carrying of this cart was not on a paved road. It was on a bumpy road. So can you imagine being 11 years old and you're dragging a cart, little red wagon with 4 bushels of vegetables in it?
Mm.
It's hot. You're sweating. Sweat is dripping off your nose. You're tired. You got to go inch by inch because if you hit the wrong bump,
exactly everything
you'll tip over. Right. But why was he willing to do all of what was required?
Because he had a dream and a vision.
He had a dream and he had a vision. So this time that we're living in, when everybody's complaining about economics, this is not the time for us to be fearful and to run and hide. This is the time for you to ignite your dream, to ignite your vision. As Daphne said, figure out what that purpose is that you came here for. And then, as Martin would say, get to getting. You know, get to it. And this is one of the things I know in the work that Daphne does as well as the work that I do is to helping people identify their purpose. Get clarity on that vision. Address their belief systems about those ideas about who you are and what you can do. And then come up with some specific goals and plans in order to get to where you need to get to. And that's in the chapter on courage. And we have a number of different attitudes, behaviors, and thoughts that come from the interview that can be duplicated by people depending on what they need for their situation.
Now, and how can you get this book? Is it still available on your website?
It absolutely is.
Okay.
And to get it, you go to www.drzay.com. So that's www.drzayd.com.
Okay.
And it's there. We also are beginning to do some some book events, book launch events. We had one up in New York on April 24th,
right,
which was the day before I met Daphne.
Okay.
And we actually have one planned in D.C. on May 17th at Bus Boys and Poets at 5th and K Streets Northwest.
That's on the 17th.
Yeah, that's a Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. And, you know, if you can come out, any listeners can come out, we'd love to have you there. Also, if you're in New York, and I just got this email prior to our call, Daphne, so you know, you talk about how spirit works and how things really are. I just was invited to come back to Harlem on May the 15th for the Harlem Book Fair, which will be at City Hall Plaza in Mount Vernon, New York, 1 Roosevelt Square. So they're having the Harlem Book Fair. The city of Mount Vernon is hosting this, the West Rock Book Fair, May 15th and 16th at the City Hall Plaza, 1 Roosevelt Square. And I'll be there on the 15th in order to give some talk as well as have some books there as well. So, what's next? You know, you think about, all right, I've got a dream, and you think about, okay, I've got some courage, and now I'm taking some action to get what I want. First of all, do you think that Ray got his bike?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, he did. He absolutely did. He bought a Schwinn bike, which back, you know, at that time, that was the Cadillac of bikes. And so,
did he get it within that time frame that was specified by his father, or did?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he stayed on track. Okay.
He was riding in style when the fall came.
He was there. Okay.
Yeah, he was riding in style. And he had his bike, the best bike money could buy, and he took care of it. You see, so that's one of the stories in the book. And if there's anyone that has any questions, if you are online and you can type them into the chat room, I can see these questions and be happy to respond to them. Hi, Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah, you still here?
Uh-huh, I was wondering.
Okay. Yeah, I got off for a second. Daphne called me on the other line.
Okay.
I see D.A. Williams. Yeah, she can hear us. So if you have any questions, D.A. Williams, please chime in. Let me also continue, though, another story in the book about persistence, because persistence is very, very close to courage. Mm. And I told you a little bit about my story of persistence as far as, you know, moving from 2.015 to a 2.5 GPA at school. And the part I didn't tell you about that was that I had to make a decision whether I wanted to still go to the parties at night and stay up all night or whether I wanted to study and get my work done. And so I decided that, you know, getting my work done was closer to my goals than going and partying. So, you know, when people were partying, I was at the library. Mm. You know, and when people were sleeping on Saturday mornings, you know, I was at the library 8 o'clock every morning for 18 months. Mm. So, you know, DA, if you have a question, I think if you type it in the chat room, hopefully I'll be able to see it, and I'll be happy to to respond. So that discipline of going every weekend to catch up and get on top of my work was the secret to me getting through. The other story I talk about persistence is a good friend of mine, Michael Sleppen, who was born and raised in New York, and he actually tells a story about his wife. His wife was ill, and he needed a good doctor, and he called the doctor's office, who was supposed to be the best oncologist doctor in the county. And the receptionist said, well, the doctor's not taking any more patients. And so he said, well, okay. He hung up the phone. He went to the doctor's office and walked in. And he said, she said, who are you? He said, I'm Michael Sleppen. She said, I told you the doctor's not taking any more patients. And so he said, okay, I heard you. Thank you. And he went and he sat down. And so he stayed there, and he stayed there for 3 hours. And eventually, I see your question, DA, about math. I'll get right to you. The doctor came out and said, "Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes." So he talked to the doctor for 10 minutes, and then the doctor had to leave and walk to an appointment. So he walked with the doctor for 45 minutes to the hospital and stayed with the doctor, and eventually at the end of that conversation, the doctor agreed to take her as a patient. Mm-hmm. And his wife was able to live for 3 or 4 more years as a result of that.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what persistence is about. You know, he says persistence is having at least one more millisecond of patience than what the problem requires or what your adversary has.
Wow.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We're back.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, Doc, I had to hang up and use another phone because I was also on with the phone company and they don't seem to know what's wrong. So I do apologize, but thank you, Dr. Zay, for continuing. And
well,
when spirits are connected. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you know, I speak for a living. So, and I hope that your listeners and you are getting what you want from our experience this
Melissa
morning.
Melissa, for stepping up to the plate. I thank you.
No problem.
And my colleague DL is on the line, and we were trying to work all these technical issues out, but. No, we are back. We only have 17 minutes remaining in this episode. Dr. Z, we have to have you back on so we can ask some more questions. So continue talking about the book. I didn't hear you mention about Deep Transition. Was that the one you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I definitely wanted to talk about the newest one, which is the one I mentioned about Freedom and Power. The 7 steps in deep transitions. See, what happened, and DA, I know DA has a question. I want to make sure we get to this question that she has also. But to talk a minute about the books. See, they used to tell me I couldn't write, Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
My professor said, you're going to have to learn how to write if you expect to get out of this doctor program. So God taught me how to write. And the 7 steps in deep transitions are spiritual guide to peace of mind, prosperity, and success.
Mm-hmm.
is basically looking at, you know, first deciding what it is that you want. Okay, looking at your life first, deciding what you want. And this still gets back to that whole vision and dream thing. Number 2 is accepting spirit over ego.
Uh-huh.
It's our ego that gets in the way, because ego is all based in fear. You see? So even Daphne, I mean, DA, when you think about, okay, having a trouble learning a new subject, isn't there somewhere an idea about fear of that subject that's triggered in the mind of the person? And I'd love to talk to you offline about this math issue that someone may have about learning math. So back to 7 steps. After you figure out, you know, you accept that Spirit, which is all about love, in spirit asks the question, how can I serve? How can I help? Whereas fear and ego is asking the question, what's in it for me? So we got to shift our perspective, because each of those questions, remember I told you when I started asking different questions, I created a different life. You see? And each of those questions have energy behind them. And then once you move from there, it's about clarifying your values and then clarifying behaviors that support those values.
Mm-hmm.
And then really doing some self-reflection, which is the fifth step. And then number six is honoring yourself. You know, listening to the voice within and honoring that. And then step number seven is service to humanity and to creation. So that was a start. Now, 2 years after that, God gave me another book. Yes, please.
Before you come, continue with that, we only have 14 minutes remaining for this episode. Do you have your book with you? Can you just flip your pages while you're talking through that? And when you get a break, you tell me whether or not you're available to come back on the show on the 20th. So, but continue talking about the other book while you check back.
Okay. I have to check my calendar, but I'd love to come back on the 20th. We just need to check
we
that out.
We work out what, because I don't want to shortchange the listeners. Okay, so continue,
yeah.
Please.
The answer is about the 20th is yes. I just looked at my schedule. So those seven steps are kind of like a foundation. Okay, and it's all about getting back in touch with Source, you know, which is the creator, the source of everything, and allowing ourselves to get back in touch with that. Then, 2 years later, he gave me another book called 25 Days to Living Your Happiness. Okay, where, you know, when you work with something as a gratitude, then God gives you more.
Oh, yes.
It is the law of expansion. So this 25 Days to Living Your Happiness is actually a daily program that puts you in spirit energies. And every day it raises your vibration higher and higher and higher. So, for example, in this book, it shows you how to move from frustration. A lot of people have frustration. Right? And it helps you move from frustration to patience. There are many people that have an idea that they are a victim. And the reason one is a victim is because they're not willing to take responsibility for their life. You see? And so there's a day we discuss about how do you take responsibility. There's an affirmation for that, and there's a daily exercise for that. Some people, they devalue themselves because of the past and the pain.
Yes,
that's ego.
Society.
Yeah, that's ego. Well, on the other side of that is appreciation. You see, appreciating yourself. That's why I say I am honoring myself for. That's appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
See? Okay. So that book, and we've had number of coaching clients that have literally changed their lives, changed their managers, that have changed their approach to management, and their relationships are greatly enhanced. And they feel good about themselves. Because you know, you'd much rather take responsibility than feel like a victim.
That's right.
Because when you take responsibility, you feel good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you play victim, you feel bad. So we got to begin to learn to get in touch with how do I feel.
Exactly.
And then that book is really a powerful program to shift your energies. And when you shift your energies, you're going to attract more positive to you. And then he led me 2 years later to this current one, Self-Leadership Practices to Freedom and Power. And we talked about courage. We talked about persistence a little bit, you know. And at the top of that is integrity, which is really about keeping your word.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's the most powerful leadership quality, because when you keep your word, you generate power around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
power.
Building, mm-hmm,
hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And building what?
And you build integrity as well. We have 10 minutes remaining in this episode. Would you please take this opportunity to tell the listeners, I know you're coming back on the 20th, but I still want to give you the opportunity today to please tell them how to get in touch with you.
Yes, thank you. You can call me at 703-927-6152. 703-927-6152. You can go to my homepage for any of the books. There's a description of there. There's a free chapter. You can read more about it and, of course, purchase the books. And that is at www.drzayd.com. So that's www.drzayd.com. And my email address is info@dfortdevelopmenttraining.com. info@dtsys.com.
Red, we have 9 minutes remaining. Would you please just summarize your closing thoughts? And thank you for agreeing to come back on the 20th.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you all. We feel that the light, love, energy is coming through so powerfully, and we have so much. We've been given so much that he wants us to share, and my commitment is to do that. We encourage you to know that whatever that powerful you that you know is inside of you, that you do have the opportunity and the power to release it. You can. Yeah, there are some techniques you'll need to learn. One of the things I'd like to offer your listeners is to, you know, stay up with me, because next month we're going to be starting a Global Center for Self-Leadership where there'll be monthly teleseminars. And we will basically take people through a lot of what we've discussed today. And, you know, we want to make a special offer for you and your listeners, Daphne. I need to really kind of work out what that is. And maybe on the 20th we can figure that out and announce what that is. But that's coming. So you know if you get on my website and give me your email address, you'll get word about that offer.
Or you can also go ahead and type it on the chat for those people who want to get it, to just share it with their list. And just to let their list know that Dr. Zay will be back on the 20th, we'll post it on the blog what time he will be on. We will decide on that later on today.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So you have, we have the other guests calling in, but you still have 7 minutes, Dr. Zay.
Sure. Well, let me mention again that for those of you who are in New York, I am scheduled to be there on May 15th, that's a week from Friday, at the Harlem Book Fair. It's the in the city of Mount Vernon, the West Rock Book Fair at City Hall Plaza, 1 Roosevelt Square. And we'll have all of the books that we mentioned there, as well as sharing some information.
Far from Mount Vernon. So don't you really isolate Connecticut people.
Well, I'm happy to come to Connecticut. All you have to do is find me a venue and get some people out, and I'll be there.
Yeah, but I'm saying on the 15th, it's a nice little drive. The people can come down to Mount Vernon as well.
Okay.
It's a stroll, like we say in Jamaica.
Okay, I see. Well, it's fine. Hey, maybe, you know, if you'd like to set up a special teleseminar with your listeners and audience outside of our calls, Daphne, I'm happy to do that. Whatever will serve the people.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow because we have a meeting tomorrow.
Yes. But I'm just happy, you know.
Yes.
And I want everybody to know that whatever appearances of problems in your life, they're just appearances. You know, maybe you made decision to create those circumstances so that you could learn something. So instead of start you know, why is this happening to me, and all those kinds of questions. Start asking the question, what's the deeper meaning here?
Yes, what's the lesson learned? Yep.
Yeah, what's the lesson I'm supposed to learn? Because you know how life is. If you don't learn the lesson and you go down the road, it's just going to show up again.
That's right.
Right?
That's
the most
right.
important lessons are the lessons that are painful. So allow yourself to reflect and get in touch with that pain and move past it. And we're here to help you, to support you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know what I have learned too, Dr. Z, is that the more severe the pain, the more worthy the stretching from that pain. The result is going to be much, much more rewarding. They
absolutely.
Say no pain, no gain, right?
Yes, that's right. You know, a friend of mine, Andrew Morrison, who's also
mm-hmm.
One of my coaches, and he's telling a story about people say, I want to be like Oprah. So he asked the lady, he said, oh, so that means you wanted to be molested. You want to go through all of the pain that Oprah went through in order to emerge as Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people always want your result, but they're not ready to go with all the process and the challenges you go through because, you know, people don't take the time to understand that success and life journey comes with all the pains, all the accolades, everything. Every time I'm being interviewed by a journalist or somebody and they ask, if I had my life to do over, what would I do differently? And I said, I wouldn't do anything differently because who I am today is an end result of all my experiences. They are what made me who I am today.
Absolutely. And so let's all remember to embrace these experiences, have the courage to crystallize our vision of what it is that we want to accomplish from here over the next year or two, and then
mm-hmm.
have the persistence in our action, like Mike Slepin, to just show up and be there and don't accept no as an answer, and always think well of yourself, no matter
right.
what the answers are. Think well and think good of yourself.
That's right, because if you don't expect anybody else to think good of you and appreciate and love you.
Yes. You know, one of the things we talk about in the new book also, Freedom and Power book, is, you know, leadership, formal leadership, which is authority, comes from self-leadership. And self-leadership is based in self-image, and from self-image, the foundation is self-love. So, you know, let's begin to love ourselves more, dear people. You see?
That's right. Right.
That's the basis of everything. And, you know, yeah, we got to go through the pain. We got to go through whatever experiences we had. Even the judgment I experienced was my people's dysfunctional form of love. You see? And you believe you want love from other people. So love yourself, so that you can give yourself, you can do for yourself what you want other people to do for you.
Okay, Dr. Zay, I want to thank you so much for blessing us this morning. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Yes, and I thank you so much for the opportunity, Dad. And I thank all of your listeners for being online and Melissa for coming online. And, you know, sign up on my website, www.drzay.com. Look out for some special offers and show up at any events you can, and there'll be more love energy for us all. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Daphne, we'll talk tomorrow, and looks like we're about done here. I know you have another show starting at 11, so thank you. This is Dr. Z signing off. Peace.
And Chris.
Stephanie?
And can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? I'm not hearing you right now.
Can you hear me, Christine?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. I'm hearing you. We having a lot of technical difficulties this morning. I don't know. I had to be hanging up in before show. So, I just want to thank the listeners for joining in the chat room and for stepping up to the plate and continuing the dialogue while I was not able. I was hearing them, and they just wasn't hearing me, so I have to work that out with the telephone company. And welcome, Ms. Christina Walls, and I want to thank her for taking time to blessing us this morning on the A New Day show. Christine, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hello, my name is Christina Walls. I'm also an evangelist. Certified debt consultant, I'm in the mortgage industry, a real estate agent. Total Financial Solutions Through God is what we say in my office. We help people if they're going. We say to people out there in radio land, what is the best gift, the best one that's needed at the time? What could that gift be? You may be going through a situation where you may have credit issues. And if you have credit issues, we're able to unwrap that gift to you, but we can dispute anything that's inaccurate, erroneous, or obsolete that's on your credit. Could be that you need to refinance or purchase of a new home. Those are gifts that we have offered. We also help in the debt management solutions, whether you're bogged down in debt, maybe paying on time, but the interest rates are pretty high and it's becoming overwhelming to you. We could manage that and reduce your interest and have more money going towards your principal and less towards interest. We also have debt negotiation and debt settlement programs where if you're in a situation where everything is in collections and charge-offs, so we realize that, you know, bad things do happen to good people, that we can restructure your whole debt situation and destroy the kingdom of debt.
All right. Okay, awesome. And Christina, I know everybody in the chat room or on the line this morning is thinking that we are going through financial turbulent times, not only as an individual, but as a world. What is happening is not only happening in America, it is happening globally. But we who are believers, yes, we are part of what's going on. It is around us, but we know where our supply comes from. And we know that regardless of what's going on around us, we have hope. And we know where our hope comes from.
And to add to
what
that,
what do you
I
have
would...
to say about that?
To add to that, I would say that during this economic crisis, the Lord said to me 2 years ago that the chaos is necessary to bring order and just know that he has a hidden plan. So the hidden plan is that although you may have been in a financial crisis, but the crisis has not had you because right now you are recession-proof. We got to call those things that be not as though they were because God has strategically shook up the nation, shook up the world, and the situation has exposed a lot of things And now the government is forced to correct some things that are taking place in the earth realm. Mm-hmm. How is that happening?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's happening through, where if you look at now, a lot of the banking industries, a lot of the CEOs, they resigned, or, you know, some committed suicide because they were doing a lot of hidden stuff. And now.
Exactly.
I mean, Freddie Mac, the top guy in Freddie Mac, he just committed suicide. The pressure has got on them so bad. There's a lot of things that's being hidden out there that had to be exposed. But in the meantime,
exactly.
This is not the time to be sleeping.
That's right. That's right. Because a lot of what have been going on in the dark places, light is now shone on it.
Yes.
And as you say, there are some people who are committing suicide even before the light hit their section, because they know it's a surety that the light will shine on it.
Exactly.
And they really can't take the pressure. So what they have to do, they do what Satan wants them to do and to get out of this world. And so what? I beg your pardon, Christine, what did you say?
And that's not the solution. This is a time when God is saying that it's also favoring his righteous cause. We have no problem. There's no lack in our area. If we
look
at what we see and start looking at what we don't see through the spiritual eyes, we would see that this is our season. This is our time. We are receptive.
That's right.
This is a time where the market, the interest rates are at all-time low. The when you look at the values of the property have dropped drastically, God has actually positioned us where we can walk right out of our doors and go ahead and buy a property. Anytime you're going to pay less in buying a property than pay in rent, what time is that? This is time
That's
to get
right.
a house in order. This is time to get in position. When the Lord pulled me
That's
out of my
right.
job, he said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, but how are we going to get that wicked wealth if we're not in position to receive it?
That's
get
right. We have to be in position. Yes.
Yeah, he said, get my people in position to receive the wealth transfer. So the position
Yes, because our Father has no lack. There is more
no
than
lack.
Enough for all of us.
Exactly. Think about Abraham. Think about how in his time when he had to leave his land and he had to go on a land where there was lack. But did he not have that place resurrected? And then it was more than enough and plenty was there. Think about what God is taking you out of the spirit of familiar and takes you in a place where it's unfamiliar and uncomfortable so that you can totally trust God in it. This is time when we have to walk in faith and not by sight. I have to be
That's
present
right.
in that area.
Because you know what? You know, a lot of us are still holding on that we have to see to believe it. And they don't understand that faith is believing in order to start seeing it. So
exactly.
Just yesterday, Carl and I, we were on the show and we were talking about that people think their faith is for when everything is good. Your faith is for when the waters are rough. That is when you exercise your faith. It's like people asking for patience, and when they are being tested to really expand their patient muscles, then they give up. So if you are not tested, how do you know if you are really expanding and developing your tolerance or patience? You know, it's the same thing with your faith.
And when you look at what's going on right now, this is the time when we embrace patience. When we embrace patience, we're going to increase our faith and we will bring hope alive in our lives.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And
because we are going to be on the other side. We will have excel and grow way, 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 way beyond what we were before all of this start. But we have to believe in who our supplier is.
Exactly. And what comes to mind right now is I think about 1 Chronicles 4:9 and verse 10, where Jabez's mother bore him in pain, but he didn't let his name dictate who he was.
That's right. That's right.
He said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. That
you
yes. my territory. Keep
exactly.
your hand upon
exactly.
me. And when he said
Father
keep
God.
Your hand, when he said keep your hand upon me, he was talking about when I felt afraid, when my faith was wavering, when I feel like doubt, when I feel like going back in my comfort zone, Lord, thrust me
mm-hmm.
into my destiny. Thrust me into the
That's
position
right.
that you want me to be so that I won't be
yes.
comfortable and I would do what you have called me to do for my kingdom assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And then
That's
he said,
right.
while you're
That's
hanging
right.
upon me, keep me from evil that I won't cause any pain to myself or others. And the Lord answered that prayer. How many people out there that aren't Christians, that aren't believers, that are following the biblical principles right now and being blessed of the Lord?
Yes, and then the Christian, they are giving to their neighbors and helping their neighbors out of difficulty. And you talk about that. You know how many non-believers I know have the prayer of Jabez and they're using it?
They're
and
using
then
it.
Christian people go around and they envy them. And I say, you know something? The non-believers are doing much better than a lot of Christians. Because they are practicing the godly principle. Yes, there's a lot of them who have not accepted the Lord as their Savior, but they're still practicing the principles. So we know is the next step is for us to walk up to them and lead them in this prayer. And then they're not going to have any problem with their tithing and all of that because they're already accustomed to be giving it away. They're not hoarding what they're blessed with. And they call it luck. Instead of seeing that this is a blessing. And we can learn a thing or two from those people.
Exactly. And the Lord says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody taking my stuff.
That's right. So, I'm a work in progress. And every day I make sure I learn something more about what it is to operate in kingdom principles. Christina, what insight do you have for people who are experiencing different negativities surrounding their mortgages at this time?
Right now, when I say that the good news is the bad news is not true, it is so absolutely the most important statement that I could ever make.
Yes.
I literally have several people that Lord has used me to restructure loans where people thought it was impossible, going in there, giving them a strategy, even going into the courts to stop the foreclosure, to get an extension and putting them into a loan modification or doing a short refinance and saving their home. Right now I'm in the midst
yes.
of three major ones that I'm working on right now where the clients
mm-hmm.
are literally going to, their principal is going to be reduced over $100,000. And then they're going to be converted and put into a new refinance on a government loan and just basically just corrected their whole situation that took place.
You know, and the other thing, and this is one of the reasons, when I learn in depth about what the type of work Christine is in and how she operates, this is why I say I need to have her on this radio show because she is licensed to work nationally, and a lot of times people are losing because they are surrounding themselves with people who don't understand what they are entitled to and how to operate in a godly manner, and that's what Christina does. And it doesn't matter where you are, so long as you are in the United States, she has the ability and the criteria to work with you. So listen to what she's talking about. And Christine, I want you right now to take the time to let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you. And I encourage you all to share her information with your neighbors, your friends, because we all know somebody who's going through now. If it is not us going through, we all know somebody that is going through. So please take this opportunity now, Christina, to do that.
Okay. You want me to mention my name and address?
Yes, and all your contact information, everything that they can use to get you.
Well, my name is Christina Walls. Walls is Walls. And you can contact me
And I'll give you my cell phone first, because if it's a 911 to you, it's a 911 to me. That's 203-687-2995. 203-687-2995. My office is 203-909-6477. 203-909-6477. And you can reach me on the internet. My website is www.financialfreedomthroughgod.com. That's financialfreedomthroughgod.com. And you can email me at info@financialfreedomthroughgod.com or cwalls24@gmail.com.
And I was correct, Christine, in saying that you're qualified to work nationally, right?
Yes, I work nationally, any state in the United States, even when it comes to refinance or purchase of a home.
Okay.
That we can
help you with. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome, awesome. I just wanted to make sure you get that out there. So please continue talking about some steps that people can take now.
Well, one of the things, the first thing I would say to you out there in Radio Land is do not leave your home. That's the worst thing you can do if you're facing any financial crisis or facing any type of foreclosure. Because if you leave your home, the insurance companies right now do not want to take the risk. So if they see any properties that are vacant and they feel that you're in the default of your loan, they will immediately cancel the insurance, so the mortgage company will not try to come after them for any liabilities, because oftentimes when your house is vacant, people will vandalize it, and now the insurance company will come in, and then they have to pay the fees. So they're out there searching and looking right now.
So stay put. Stay put. Doesn't
stay
matter
put,
what
put,
they say or what
put.
It look like. Don't you pack up nothing.
Right. And my attitude is, if you don't want to leave, you don't want to lose your house, you won't.
Exactly. That's it. That's
it's
it.
It's up to you.
It is
up to you. If you're part of Jesus, say, look, I'm just like Jesus. He didn't, you know, he said, you're not going to take my life. I lay it down when I feel like it.
Exactly. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's the first step in negotiating for refi? Is that something you want to do yourself, or you need a professional like Christina to do it?
Well, some people have tried to do it themselves. Some people have been successful, so I won't say they were. But majority of people that I've talked to have tried to negotiate themselves with their lender, and it has not been successful, because if you're not putting the right information down, especially when it comes to the financial hardship, and in your the letter, and then in your budget, and getting all those finances and stuff together, you may mess up.
And that's
you don't have another opportunity to do it again, because they
that's
have your information. And if you receive a letter of default or anything like that, strongly suggest that you take that letter of default, and if they have a court date on there, if you don't get an attorney, at least go there yourself and show up. Because it's better having someone on the other side sitting down with the judge than not having anyone at all there.
Exactly.
And then they're just coming up with decisions for you when you have a right, okay?
To say something. Because a lot of time when people are faced with this going on, the first thing they say is that, you know, I don't have any money to get help. And
one of the things that I would say is that consult someone. You have my number. We can sit down, go over and see what's going on. Look at your budget, see what it looks like. And let us give you some advice, and then you choose to decide which way you want to go. Rather than one of the things that I oftentimes say is, would you go to a dentist, would you go to a lawyer to get your tooth pulled? No, because he'll be a novice in that area, right?
That's right. Everybody's an expert in something. That's
right.
That's right.
Find the experts. And oftentimes people say, well, I'll use my attorney. make sure that attorney knows the laws of foreclosure, because they could be
exactly.
a regular attorney. They could be a regular attorney, but if they're not up with all these different laws that are coming out right now, you're going to have a problem.
Right. You know something, Christina, is last week I was having a conversation with a young lady. I was asking her when she graduated high school what she wanted to do. And she said, an attorney. And I asked her what type. And she looked at me and I said, yes, because when I was growing up, an attorney was an attorney. You went in that one office and you could get everything done by that one attorney. But I said, now attorneys specialize.
Right.
And unless they have a firm where they say, oh, I don't do this, but my associate does it. But people are no longer doing everything because they know that the amount of money they make is in their expertise and specialization that they do that. So we don't have to try to do everything. You can't be everything to all people. So find out what it is that you are good at doing.
Exactly.
Christina, we have 38 minutes remaining for this episode. What are some of the government programs that are available to first-time home buyers now?
Well, you have your, with the FHA program, they can still get 3% down on a mortgage. Your score has to be a 620 in order to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that you're not there, at least go and proactively pull your credit. Go get a free credit report offline with all your scores so you can see where your scores are, because you got to be at least a 620. And if you're, like, right on the edge, we need to look at it and find out and evaluate, find out what is it that you need to do to bring those scores up, because that's very crucial in this time when it comes to getting any type of financing. Those scores need to be where it is. Now, when it comes to a short refinance, where it actually works like a short pay or short sell, if, like, say somebody was in foreclosure, they're going to lose their property, but instead they try to sell it and do it with a short refinance or short purchase, the bank is going to look at, they're going to pull your credit, even on a loan modification, and look at all the other bills that you have to see if the debt-to-income ratio is there. Oftentimes, your score, if we went back to the purchase side, your score may be at 620. Let's say that you have a couple credit card debts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your credit card debts are showing that you have, how would I say it? Let's say you have a $5,000 card and you use $2,800 of it, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That right there brought your score down because you're over 58. You're over 50%.
Oh,
and they
okay.
At it. So if you were to take that same amount of money and reduce it and pay it down and get it under 30%, then you're going to be able to get your drive your score up a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that you can do to immediately look and see, you know, how you can bring those scores up. And what I would say is that give us a call. 203-687-2995. 203-687-2995. Or you can call the office at 909-647-7. Right. You got it.
I have a question, though. What is the difference between a short sale and a short refinance? Because I've never heard the term short refinance before.
Okay, a short sale is when it's an arm's-length transaction. That's when you're getting a borrower, someone that's interested in purchasing your property. It's a distressed property, and the bank knows it's distressed because it's facing foreclosure. And you're trying to sell it, right? And you know that there's not enough equity there. So we go and negotiate with the lender and try to get the principal reduced less. Down. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a short
right.
sale is. A short
mm-hmm.
refinance is we would go in and negotiate. We would do the same, just similar to the same thing we do on a short sale, go and negotiate too to see if we can get a lower principal. And what we're doing is we're going in and we evaluate. We do the whole financial analysis like we would do on a short sale with the seller,
right.
you know, whoever owns the property. And we will see, identify the hardship, then present it with the bank. But before we present it to the bank, we have to also have an appraisal done on the property to prove to the lender that the house is no longer valued at the same price it was when you originally purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that the owner is allowed to stay in the home at the short finance versus
short
selling property. Or now?
Exactly. It has to be an owner-occupied, 1-4 family.
Okay.
And at this point, it doesn't even matter where their score is. I don't know how long that window is going to be open. But I
right.
really suggest you keep your credit going, you know?
Okay.
And,
all right. Okay.
What we do is we negotiate with that lender for short payoff. We get the short payoff approved. Then we can turn around and refinance it through a government loan that will take that type of program. But the
okay.
key is, with this type of program, if we get a short refinance done,
uh-huh.
say, whatever you're going to walk, now you get your house restructured, where you're going to have equity in the property. But if you sold or refinanced the property a year after, FHA is going to keep all that equity.
Okay, okay. So how long does FHA requires the person to remain in the home after that?
You can. They don't give you any restrictions. You just know you're not getting anything out of it because they look at it this way. They bailed you out of your situation. Restructure.
Okay, so now they are benefited from that. Uh-huh.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
but it
Christina.
A situation.
Yes, yes, of course it does. We have 33 minutes remaining in this episode, and what else would you like to tell the listeners at this point?
I would tell the listeners if you're selfish out there and you may not be going through anything, but someone in your neighborhood is ultimately going to affect you because it's bringing your value down. So
mm-hmm.
give them our number so that we can call and help them and assist them so that they can come out of their financial situation and we can stabilize the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not
mm-hmm.
selfish and you genuinely care, then you can do the same thing, knowing that your heart is right.
That's right. It's what I hear you saying is the importance of looking after our brother and our sister.
Exactly.
Because, you know, there are some people say, oh, well, that's not me and that's not my responsibility. I didn't tell them to do this and I didn't tell them to do that. But the bottom line, as Christina says, it affects each and every one of us. What are we committed to doing to let the situation improve? Christina, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know whether or not it is in your area of expertise. If it is not, you just say so, and then I can move along. What are some avenues now for investors?
Investors are what they're doing is they're also going in and doing short refinances, short sales on these properties that they see where the equity is not there anymore, and they're buying these properties below market value, and then they turn around and they actually can flip them and go ahead and get a refinance and pull cash out.
So
they're all looking at financing on a to get a financing on an investment property. Investors have to put up probably 20% to 25%, and they want to see their scores in the 700s now.
Awesome. Now, you have been in this type of business for a number of years, and
yes.
I don't know whether what's going on now, you had seen it before. If you had seen it before, what's the approximate time span that you saw a positive turnaround in the past?
Well, what I see right now is that the way things are, like, as it continues to correct some things in the industry, you're going to see this going on for the next 2 to 3 years. But at the same time, this year alone, I don't know how long they're going to give the tax credit for first-time buyers. If you're a first-time buyer out there, you should definitely be taking advantage of it, because you can get up to $8,000, between $8,000 and $8,500 credit on purchasing your first home. And the interest rates are very low, and the values are very low.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want it with more houses and less money.
Who is considered now as a host, as a first-time home buyer? Because I heard somebody mention the other day, and I didn't realize that. So let me hear what you have to say on that for the benefit of the listeners.
Let's say that you did have a house years ago, but you have not purchased anything, and you haven't bought a house for 3 years. After three years, you become a first-time home buyer again.
Okay. And that was new information, because I think a lot of people was of the understanding, too, like myself, that a first-time home buyer meant you never purchased before, because I was never told prior that after 3 years, if you never own a home, you'll become a first-time home buyer again. So that is that's a good thing for people who are looking to go out there and get something again who didn't have it for at least 3 years. So that's information you want to share with your network and your neighbors. If someone goes into a short sale,
yes,
how does that affect their credit, Christina?
Well, just look at it this way. If they're in a situation right now where they're looking at foreclosure on their credit report, that foreclosure would have stopped. And because you settled, it would show up as settled. The account settled, instead of complete foreclosing on that property.
So how long does it take them to recoup their credit?
Well, that could stay on your credit between 7 to 10 years, but if the credit bureaus did not report it accurately, it can be deleted. And I've seen foreclosures, bankruptcies, and all those things come off people's credit report based on the inaccuracies, the way it was reported, and the amount. So nothing's impossible.
So, again, it depends on who you're working with and how much they know their craft.
Exactly. And I always say when it comes to credit repair that if we're disputing everything that's inaccurate, erroneous, and obsolete that's on your credit report, it's just like going to court and the prosecutor has to state their claim. If the prosecutor don't have the act together, the judge throws it out of court, doesn't he? And he dismissed the case. Well, that's the way the credit bureaus do when it comes to your credit report. Your credit report is your resume. It's how they see you before they see you. So based on the information, if they didn't report it accurately, it has to be deleted and updated to your behalf. And it could be a number off. It could be, it could be just wrong information, or it could be a duplicate, erroneous information or obsolete information. And speaking of credit, another thing that's very important to mention, if you have collections and charge-offs on your credit report and you're looking to buy a house and you're right there, just signed a contract, the lenders already saw your credit report, okay? They saw the discrepancies that was already on there. Don't go and pay off a collection or a judgment at that point, because you're going to drop your score about 50%.
Right.
And so what you were qualified for is going to be done. So if you come in and I give you a pre-approval, I'm going based on what I see. If there's things that need to be corrected, because I'm a credit expert, I can tell you what needs to be corrected. If it's not, then we can have a letter of explanation, and we'll do so. But don't do anything without our advice, because it could truly mess you up, and then you'll be upset that you went through the whole process and you lost.
So you're going to mess something up that you can't undo afterwards. So.
Exactly, because whenever let's say that you have some derogatory information in your credit report that's in collection and charge off. The minute you call that creditor up, it reopens the case. Your score will immediately drop before it goes up. Now, if we work through the disputing process through the credit bureau, it won't affect your score.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Any other insight on resolving or repairing credit? What's the correct term? Repairing?
Credit enhancement, we call it. We're enhancing. Because it's your resume, it's how they see you before they see you. So if they're going to look at
yes.
you, you want to look at you the right way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome. So is there nothing else pertaining to the credit report? We have 24 minutes remaining.
Okay. Yes.
So
any
information you have you want to dispense that I have not asked about?
Well, one of the things that I would say, if you have any credit issues, there's some debt issues. So although we've corrected your credit, changed your resume how it looks, gave you your power back so that you'll be able to buy and not be scrutinized. And mind you, when you have credit issues, don't you know it affects you when you go get car insurance? It affects you when you're going for a new position in a company? Because if they have to determine, use a terminating factor, they would, the last resort would be your credit report. And if they see it and it's not in good standing, then they feel as though that you're going to steal from the company. I mean, they shouldn't look at you that way because bad things do happen to good people, but they do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how people are, and you can't change them. You can only change yourself.
Exactly.
So we need to focus on ourselves and the message that we are sending out about ourselves. Because we are only in control of who we are.
Yeah, so when we
the way
give
people
you,
think. Mm-hmm.
So when we straighten out your credit, we just gave you your power back, right? Now
yes.
let's destroy the kingdom of debt. Now, how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
We have debt management solutions. If you have, again, we talked about if you need to negotiate debt. Let's say you have $10,000 worth of debt. We can negotiate that debt, 60%. You have a lump sum of money, we'll negotiate and have you debt-free in 3 to 6 months. How do we do it? We can get the best negotiation because we leverage because we deal with, let's say that we have 10,000 people that have a Providian card. We drop $200,000 on in a negotiation. Are they not going to take it?
Of
That's
course they are,
and
because it's cash in hand.
Exactly. Now, you don't have a lump sum of money, but you have, we can put you on a monthly payment plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once we have enough money to negotiate, then we negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And when we negotiate for you like that, we're able to, you're going to have your monthly payments, like I said, you'll still have that. But we're going to put you in a position to reduce your debt-to-income ratio. And now you do qualify for some things. I mean, I've been doing it for years, and I have thousands of clients all over the United States that have been in my program, and I always say to them, not only am I a president of the company, but I'm a client too. So who's better than
mm-hmm.
no one if I haven't tested and
That's
tried
right.
it myself?
Yes, everybody. It's either you're in it or you're heading toward it. So it's there's nobody who is exempt from what's going on now. And this is why it's important to find somebody who is not just giving you book knowledge, but they have the personal experience about what's going on and what it takes to resolve certain situations. You know, and it's
right.
the same thing we were talking on with the guest prior. He spoke about his story and what he was in school and that the a pre-birth conversation that he had with God prior to coming into this world. So we are not just here talking a good talk. Most of us, we are telling you our stories.
Exactly.
And that's why we can speak from deep within us with sensitivity and understanding of what our listeners are listening to and what they are experiencing. We are in this together.
And
yes, we have go ahead.
One thing I would add to that is that, like you said, we all run the risk. So you may not be
mm-hmm.
in a situation right now. Someone else may be. It may be a situation where you might have to have your family members move into your house because
mm-hmm.
they're in that situation. Or you may run into that
That's
situation.
Right.
And it's funny because I remember probably about a year ago, you know, I was talking about the loan modification and helping people stay in the house. And I remember one particular individual thought it was so beneath them and say, oh, wow, how can people get themselves in those situations? And do you not know 2 months ago they were sitting in my office and they don't know how they got in that situation? And I had
exactly,
to bring back
you know?
Remembrance that we all run the risk.
Exactly, because we are
stressed out.
Exactly, we are in no position to judge each other.
No.
Support when you can. If you can't say good, keep your mouth closed.
Exactly, because you never know. And they wound up losing a lot of income over the last few years, and they're like, oh, my God, how did I get into this situation?
Mm.
But, again, it wasn't their fault.
That's
but
right.
It's a humbling experience because we never know. And that's why the Bible
we
talks about
never know.
We're supposed to have all things common. You know, what did
mm-hmm.
they do? They sold their goods to make sure everybody had. And they made sure no one was lacking. And it's coming
that's
to the
right.
point where we're going to have to be looking out for each other. There's no more
that's right.
you and your three or four and your white picket fence and your little hat, dog and a hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all
because
we have to get compassionate for one another. And
exactly. Exactly. And this is where resolution is going to come. We each need to start in our little communities and neighborhoods and make the difference there. And as it expands out into the bigger areas, then it will snowball. But everybody's looking at Washington and the White House and all of that. No, we need to look right here at home. What is my commitment? What am I committed to do? How am I going to help to resolve this situation?
Mm-hmm. We have to do that. We cannot sit back. We can no longer sit back and wait and see what's going to happen. We're going to make it happen.
Oh no. Oh, no, or else we are going to be left out in the cold. You and I and the next person, we need to start having conversations. You know, I was born and raised in Jamaica, and everybody knew everybody. And I come here, and it amazes me that there are people who are living next door for over 12 years, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, and they have no idea who their neighbors are. And I say, how can this be so? We are all here together. Why hasn't someone reached out to the next person and start a conversation? You know?
We have to live by His mercy, love, and truth. We have to be
yes.
able to have more compassion and ask God to help us. Because I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
we're in a day right now that we don't have nobody else but each other. And we need each other to
that's
survive.
It.
And it's time
that's
off. And my commission, my great commission is to see the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, it's righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And it's my commission
yes.
is not to see another family commit suicide over a financial situation.
Oh,
not
God,
to see another
no.
family go through a divorce because of a financial situation. If
my
I can
God.
Eliminate that from happening,
then
my labor is not
then
safe.
Your job will have been done, yes.
Exactly, because there is solutions. And even those who are out there contemplating bankruptcy, you know how many people I've told them, if you don't have to file it, don't do it. Don't find the easy way out. Let's see what we can
that's
do.
Right. That's
and,
right.
And I,
that's right.
Some of them
are right.
right now that they said, thank God I didn't go ahead and fill those papers out because they would not be in the position to go through this program that just came up. Because
that's right. And a lot of people
bankrupt.
Are being misled. Because I know from experience, a lot of people are being misled. They go into attorneys to get for advice, and the next thing they say, oh, you know, we need $1,800 so we can file you the bankruptcy and all of that. So people, be careful who you talk with.
Exactly.
Be careful, because there are some people you're talking to who are leading you down the wrong path. They're leading you down the wrong path. You know, I keep thinking back, and it's not that I resist change or progress or everything, but in times like these, I keep thinking back about the little district I grew up in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a farming district. But everybody there worked with each other. And I think that's where I learned my love for networking from.
Mm-hmm.
The farmers would work each other farms on different days. And when they butcher, if your family, Christina, butcher a pig, and my family butcher a goat, they would exchange meat so that every family does not have to butcher the same animal in order to have meat. But we were all having a variety of meat, different meats. And I'm thinking, wouldn't this big country benefit for something like that? No, we probably don't have animals and everything. But there is something that we can do to enhance our community and show love and concern for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But everybody's just in their little cocoons, and it's those people over there and them. And no, it's us. It's all of us, because you cannot stay in the glass house for long. You'll have to open the door and step out sometime, and you don't know the situation that you're going to be faced with when you step out. Christine, would you take the next 10 minutes and just give your closing thoughts, please?
Closing thoughts, again, would be the bad news is the good news is not true. And I took a little break when I said that because I want that to just sink in. It's so important that you know that the good news is the bad news is not true. When I say to you that I'm watching God do miracles, I'm talking, I mean, even, and I'm so naked and unashamed, even on my property, I'm looking at, they just open up a door and they're actually reducing it down to $100,000 less than it was.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So when I tell
yes,
you
Lord.
These things are taking place, I don't know which way and which way we need to go with your file until I look at it, but God knows.
That's right. But there is a way out.
There's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but he knows.
That's right. And you just have to believe with Christina, because Christina already believes. The question is, do you believe that she can get the result that God has ordained for you?
Right. And I tell you out there, look, we have to have the power agreement. Don't let me go through no extra warfare trying to help you get yourself together and you over there on doubt and unbelief. We got to believe together.
Mm-hmm.
And one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 fights.
Mm-hmm.
But I can, again, I cannot do it without you.
And, you know, I don't know why the Spirit tell me to say it. It's what I'm going to say. When you start working with Christina, work with her and listen to what she's telling you. Don't go be calling up Dick, Tom, and Harry again to get their advice based on what she tells you. Because those are the naysayers out there that is crippling your faith and your belief. I think there's got to be somebody who that was for. I don't know, but I felt led to say that, and I just did. So continue, please, Christine.
Yes, it's true, because oftentimes people, I call it the background noise. If you go and get the book, The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson, ordinary lives in Atlanta familiar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything was the same. Everything he ate, everything he drank, everything was the same. All of a sudden, he wakes up to his big dream. He could no longer be the same anymore. He goes to, he wants to share, because he's so excited about what's taking place in his life, he wants to share with everyone. He goes to his best friend, he goes to everyone, sharing his big dream that God gave him. They couldn't see it. So they're like, nobody leaves familiar, everybody stays the same. So, you know, he got a little discouraged, but then he went to his father, he said, Dad, have you ever woke up to your big dream? He said, son, was there a feather on the windowsill? He said, yeah. He said, well, you know what? I woke up to my big dream one day, too, and it was a feather on the windowsill also, but my feather turned to dust because I did nothing with it. So I'm saying to you out there right now, when Ordinary went out there to pursue his big dream because he took what his father said and he was determined not to let his feather turn to dust, he was getting ready to cross that bridge and come out of familiar. Who was at the end of the bridge trying to stop him from getting to his destiny? It was everybody that told him he couldn't do it. It was his mother, everybody that was close to him. It was even his landlord, because his landlord knew that if he left Familiar, then the landlord didn't have anybody to pay his rent.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you listen to the people and it's going contrary to what God has given you in your dream, you got to know who they are. Recognize them as the border bullies. But
mm-hmm.
when you cross that bridge and leave them border bullies, you better believe champions on the other side. Going to get
That's
you across
right.
the bridge, okay? Going to get you across the water, and he's standing there with a boat. So right now, today, let me be that champion. And you
That's
just
right.
follow faith and see what God does, because wisdom speaks first. Then she explains herself. All you got to do is listen and obey, and you're going to reap the benefits to God's glory.
That's right. That's right. Would you once again remind the listeners how to contact you, please, Christina?
Yes, you can give me a call at 203-909-6477, which is the office. 203-909-6477. You can call me on my cell phone, 203-687-2995. 203-687-2995. I have a website where it talks about loan modification and short sales. That's on www.financialfreedomthroughgod.com. Financialfreedomthroughgod.com. I'm on every Thursday live on the internet on WDJZ Radio, 1530 AM, from 12 to 1 on Thursdays. And I'm on the radio show at the same time, 1530 AM, on Thursdays, 12 to 1. And you can just send me an email, cwalls, W-A-L-L-S, 24, at gmail.com.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Now, you have 2 minutes. Do you have a closing thought for the listeners?
Closing thought is that the ones who do not call, I cannot help.
Yes. Yes.
If you're sick and tired or sick and tired of being in your situation, then reach out for help. Even someone that's trying to commit suicide that really doesn't want to commit suicide, they'll call and let somebody know they're going to commit suicide because they really don't want to
yes.
do it.
That's right. They're calling
out
for help.
For
they're crying for help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're reaching out for the lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And the lifeline is here. God has his ambassadors here to help you. But, again, we cannot help if you do not call. And
right.
you have to be naked and unashamed. You have to be real with me because I need to know everything. I'm going to get all up in your business. I'm going to take you on
yes,
a journey.
Yes, transparency is important. Yes.
Yes.
Transparency is important because if you are not transparent, if we are not transparent, then you can't help us.
Exactly.
So we need to be transparent. Okay, Christina, I just wanted to thank you for coming on again and educating our listeners, and to thank you for being obedient to do the work that God has called you to do so that you can impact and make a difference in each of our lives. And I thank you for committing to us as a people, and for the quality of the work that you continue to do for each and every one of us. Is there anything else you want to say before we say so long?
Well, I just say God bless. I hope that was able to help someone out there, and I give God thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you, Christina. It was a blessing. Each and every time I'm in your presence, it's just a blessing to see how well-informed and knowledgeable you are about your craft that God has called you to do. And just continue to doing God's work. You know something? I completely forgot to ask the people in the chat room if they have a question for Christine. We're so busy chatting here. If you're in the chat room and you have a question for Christine, would you type it so I could read it for her, please? And I'm going to wait, Christina, to see if anybody have a question for you, okay?
Okay.
While we do that, I just want to do a little housekeeping. It is this time of year again when I ask people to open their hearts and homes to the French student program. We have two group that is coming July 10th through the 30th and August the 5th through the 25th. And for people who are interested in helping out with different students, they can call me at 203-546-8211 or 8210 and let me know that you have an interest in doing the French student program. And again, I want to ask people to go to my show, www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E, and my Clark is with an E, -Clark-Hudson, and sign up for a friend of the show. Mark me as favorite and give me some comments. There are blogs there about the list, the guests and everything. Please give me your comments. Let me know how you feel about what we are doing. There's something that you would like to hear us talk about here on the show. Please let me know so we can go find that for you, because our purpose and vision here is to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And we want to do that with your help and your commitment. I haven't seen anyone type a question yet. So I don't know, Christine. We have a few more, a couple of minutes before we get off air. So if you can still hang on in case somebody build a muscle up to type a question. I don't know how much time we would have to answer that, but if not, I'm sure we will have you back again in the near future, because I had you on my TV show as well, and I know you are a woman with a wealth of information, because the next time you are back here, I want for you to tell your real story. I mean, not what God has called you to right now, but prior to that, because you have an amazing story that will just impact the lives of others. I'm sorry?
Purpose birth through pain.
Yes, 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 yes. And I want to invite the listeners to visit our blog and see our guest coming up on the 13th. We are going to have Mr. Franco Charles out of Texas, and also we are going to have Edward Foxworth out of Detroit. So I'm going to be having two powerful brothers on that day. So join me, and on the 20th we have Dr. Z coming back. And Christina, there's no question here from anybody. So I just want to thank you for blessing us this morning and for enlightening us and opening our eyes, and to let us also not know that the good news is that the bad news is not true. And I think this is deserving to write on your 3x5 card and put it all over your house so you can affirm that the good news is that the bad news is not true. It doesn't matter what it look like. I love you all. I want to remind you. Yes, I want to remind you that you all have a destiny to follow. And this is the Dynamic Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul, saying so long from Brookfield, Connecticut, and I'll see you again on the 13th. Remember, you have a destiny. Follow it, and don't allow anyone to tell you otherwise. Love you all. See you again on the 13th.
What's the plan? Call it destiny. Will you let me know what's the plight that you've called me to, the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?